In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Theophan the Recluse, in his look at this gospel, says that each of us has experienced something similar to this miraculous feeding of hungry people. He says that it's the exalted and pleasant state of our spirits when we feel God's consolation at times. And then he says the Lord God lets everyone partake of him at times in order to give us a foretaste of his heavenly kingdom and what that would be like, you know, to kind of draw us toward that. But then he may also stop the flow of his blessings at times in order to strengthen us, because he requires us to make our own efforts and labors in following him. So it's kind of like, you know, like a teacher, you know, gives maybe a student something easy to do so they feel confident, and then, you know, they feel really good about things. But then they kind of pull back and let the student figure out things for themselves, and then that they know, because the teacher knows, then they're really going to learn it a lot better. And so today's gospel reveals several important things for us and for our salvation. One is that this idea of leaving the world behind by entering into the desert or wilderness, and that Christ is able to fill all our needs, both bodily and spiritually, and even when something good happens, we really should not look to the world to receive praise. Now Christ, after hearing of the killing of St. John the Baptist by Herod, goes into this wilderness. And St. Nikolai Vlimirvich says that this is probably because Herod would have tried to kill Jesus next, but it was not his time yet. And he also points out that this is an image of both spiritual life, leaving the world behind in order to fast and pray and draw closer to God, and that this is also like the lighting of a spiritual candle, which when it is lit, draws many people who can then receive healing and teaching. So as Christians, we're called to live a spiritual way of life and to leave the world behind, at least in our hearts, and to fast and pray as we're able. So in other words, so Herod kills John the Baptist, Jesus goes into the wilderness, withdraws for a time, and then he's out there praying and fasting, but he draws all these people to him. They hear, oh, Jesus is in the wilderness, so they all go running out there. They want to hear him, and they my aunt or my grandmother's sick, please, Lord, heal her. So he's spending all day healing all these people and teaching them and everything. And so, really, this is a great model of faith, actually, because this great multitude of people followed Christ out way out there into the desert, into the wilderness, without even taking provisions with them. You know, they didn't bring along, it doesn't say that they brought along, you know, the food wagons, you know, and things like we see around Huntsville. You know, they didn't bring those with them, the carts and all that. So they just followed him because they just wanted to listen to his teaching and receive healing. And the Holy Fathers say that we too should be like that. We should follow Christ without worrying so much about, you know, whether we have all our needs filled, and because we can trust that Christ will provide for our needs. Now, when Jesus tells the disciples to feed all these people, the Lord is omniscient. He knows everything. You know, there's nothing that he doesn't know. It says in the gospel, a sparrow doesn't fall out of a tree unless God knows about it. It says the very hairs on our head are numbered. So he knows everything. So he knows the disciples only have 5 little loaves of bread and 2 fish. But nevertheless, he asks them anyway. And he does this to kind of set an example, to sort of teach them something, that they need to become charitable and to learn to give even what little bit they have and to place their trust in the Lord. And again, the Holy Fathers say when Jesus commands all the people, there's this, well, this crowd of at least 5,000 men, and then there's all the women and children, so there may have been as many as 10,000 people or more, as much as we know. So that's a pretty big group, you know. So he has them all sit down on the grass, you know, very orderly. And the Holy Fathers tell us this is an image of the church. That he kind of gets them organized. And sometimes we hear people say today that they don't like organized religion. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I mean, that's just kind of a common expression today. And evidently, it's because many people feel that the structure of the church is just too restrictive, and it sort of limits their freedom. You know, they can't just do whatever they want, you know, go out and sin and violate the commandments. They know that if they come to church, they feel guilty, and they should probably, you know, live a Christian way of life. But the scriptures and the Holy Fathers teach us that true freedom is knowing the truth. Like when Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Because this is spiritual freedom. And so even if we were in prison, our spirits could still be free if we knew the truth. If we knew that Jesus Christ ultimately is our Lord and will one day go to heaven. St. Nikolai Vlimirvich also refers to the five loaves in this gospel as the five senses, or in other words, the body. And that the two fish, in a way, signify life. And so, in a way, this is a prefiguring of Holy Communion in which we partake of Christ's body and blood, and so we receive this gift of eternal life when we come to church and receive communion. And in giving the bread and the fish to the apostles to give to the people, it was because their job was going to be to bear Christ throughout the entire world and give Christ to all peoples and nations as living food. And so, brothers and sisters, we've inherited this great responsibility because as Christians, we're supposed to become bearers and witnesses of Christ so that other people can also receive his life-giving and healing body and life. And after all, you know, the church is really ultimately the body of Christ on earth, the mystical body of Christ. But of course, you know, we're called to also be humble and not think too highly of ourselves, but continue always to try to enter more deeply into our spiritual life, just as Christ sends his disciples and the multitudes away after this great miracle. In other words, he doesn't let people come up and, you know, high-five him and slap him on the back and say, oh, Lord, that's really amazing. You fed all these people with just these few loaves of bread, you know, and yeah, that was, you know, that's nothing. You should see what I could do if I'm really warmed up, you know. I mean, he doesn't do that. He just says, okay, bye, see you later, guys, and he takes off, you know, and he sends the disciples away and he sends the multitudes away because he doesn't want them to focus on just that miracle alone. In fact, later, they came to seek him out, and he said, you're just looking for me because you want me to give you another lunch again, you know. And he says, you're not really that interested in your salvation, and, you know, he kind of scolds him a little bit later. That's in another time. And so Christ calls us to be united in him so that together we can fulfill the work of the church. He calls us to receive spiritual nourishment through his holy church, and we're then strengthened, and this helps us to fulfill his commandments and become better disciples. And he calls us to a greater faith and trust in him. And like the disciples in today's gospel, we too are often, we feel we are unable to provide the spiritual food for the people around us. Maybe they ask us some hard question and we're not quite sure what to answer, or maybe they need something and we don't quite have enough to help them. So in a sense, we can relate to these disciples. But if we will just offer what little we have and trust in Christ, he is able to provide all things in great abundance so that others can receive help and spiritual sustenance. Glory be to our God.